Ah! Yeah. So the next is a wave, which means you're just standing in the gap.
Amen.
Let's look at Ruth chapter 3. We've been looking the last couple of weeks just at different aspects of this book that was in the hands of him that is seated on the throne. That you may really find coming back from Switzerland, when the saints had been speaking just about redemption and different things, about the seals, the thunders, like we said. It just gave me such an interest once again to go back into the seals.
Amen.
So I started going back in, and obviously you start the seals and you get onto the breach. Mm. Once you get onto the breach, it's hard to get off the breach. Because you find so much in there, because you've got the kinsmen redeemed. And then you start realizing that, oh my, I've never really studied the kinsmen redeemer properly. Mm. You know, when you start getting into it, and you start looking at different things, and then obviously one thing always just leads to another. And the thing that really just got my attention was that book that was in his hands. You know, and I really find that that is something which you can look at it from so many different angles, so many different thoughts, so many different scriptures, so many different ways the prophet approached it. But why I think it's so, it does something inside of your soul, is because it's so relevant and it's so personal.
Amen.
You know, that is our book. That is our inheritance. Yeah. You know, so I think every single believer, there's something about that set book, that unsealed book.
Amen.
That if that's our inheritance, like Abraham, you want to walk to the north, south, east, and west to go and find out the
fullness
of your inheritance. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's a sweet thing.
Amen.
The prophet did it. So when you're getting onto kinsman redeemer, you've got to get in the book of Ruth. No, so we sort of take a certain thought from it. Only get so much into the different things about the book of Ruth. But let's just look at Ruth 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?
Hallelujah.
That it may be well with you. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens
yes,
thou wast?
Sir.
Behold, he mowed barley tonight in the threshing floor. Let's bow. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we come to fellowship one with another in the midst of the week.
Yes, Lord.
Father, coming from the battles of life, yes. Coming from the busyness of day.
Yes.
Father, Lord, the distractions, Lord, and these yes. things that pull us this one down.
Hallelujah.
How glad that we are.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Father.
But Father, we've come this night, Lord, not just
Amen.
To Father, tick off another day.
Lord.
But Father, we've come because we want to fellowship.
Yes, Lord.
We need you, Lord, our souls, we need you. We need the stimulation of revelation. We need the beginning power. Father, we need the bread that came down from
heaven. Yes,
Father, we need the hidden manna.
Amen.
We need that something, Lord, to sustain us and strengthen
yes.
us once again upon this day.
Mm-hmm.
So as Lord, we'll open up your word. Father, we look at you.
Amen.
Father, it's not in the hands of man.
Amen.
To do anything with your word.
Amen.
You're the only one that can take it.
Hallelujah.
You're the only one, Lord, that can take the word.
Amen.
Take it from being words on a page,
yes.
being words that somebody will speak. And Father, make it into something, Lord, that does something.
Amen.
So, Lord, we're sitting at your feet once again upon this evening, Lord. We're coming as Mary did when Martha was so busy about the affairs of life.
Oh, yes.
Father, she chose that one thing that was needful.
Amen.
And Father, I pray your blessing to persons
Amen.
That have
yes.
upon this evening, Lord, that have come away from all this activity and have come, Lord, once again, desiring to
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
So, Father, you've given us a message.
Thank
Lord,
you, Lord.
You've given us your scriptures.
Thank you, Lord.
Give it to these things and help
Amen.
Us.
Yes.
And help us to fellowship around something that's pleasing to you.
Amen.
Let us would leave this place, Lord, Father, the way would be more clear.
Amen.
Father, Lord,
yes.
Amen.
You would be more glorified, Thank Lord. That Father would see you more
yes, Lord.
Of what we need.
Yes, Lord.
The mothers at home,
Amen.
Best
yes, Lord.
Travel, best
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We thank you, Father, for your grace. Won't you help us?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Since you really see it, let's just have a look at this particular time in the life of Ruth. This is when the prophet says that Ruth came to the stage where in the four different stages of the journey, which was Ruth deciding, Ruth serving, then she came to Ruth resting.
Amen.
And the prophet actually says it in Kinsman Redeemer, he says, that's where she is now, Ruth.
Amen.
She's resting. And then the next thing is Ruth rewarded. So it's interesting to find out, to think, I always find it amazing when there's few people in church that everyone sits on the side. So everyone sits that side, everyone sits that side. So there's no one to preach to. But if you think of why did the prophet say that the church is in this stage of Lutheranism? Mm. That was just a thought that I was thinking about. You know, this particular junction in the ministry of Ruth, in her calling, she had a sacred calling. And she came to this particular junction now where, you know, she had grace before. You know, she had made her decision. The Lord had sent the truth to her right down there to her hidden ways and had separated her and brought her now into the promised land. But now she came to this junction where she was going to move from being just one of the maidens in the field. She was going to move on to a far higher calling now. And that was always the purpose that the Lord had for her. Now, up to now, she could have just been anyone. She had the favor of Boaz. You know, the prophet says it was love at first sight. He loved her down there in the fields when she was gleaning barefoot in the fields of Boaz. But there came now a junction in her calling, in her life, where the Lord now was going to raise her up. The Lord was going to take her to the real purpose of her calling.
Amen.
And I'm sure that you feel like that many times. You know that there's certain seasons in life. Inside of your soul that the Lord wants to take you to the next stage. Now you appreciate the things that have gone before, but like the prophet in this ministry, he knew there were certain times that the Lord was doing a specific something to try to take things to the next stage.
Yes, sir.
Because to walk with God is a progressive walk.
Amen. Mm.
You know, there's stages and junctions in this walk. Just as much as in the wilderness they could speak about when they got to the waters of Marah, then they could speak about when they got to Eden, then they could speak about the smitten rock, and then they could speak about Mount Sinai. There were junctions on the way. You know, and Ruth had come to one of these junctions. And at this junction, the Lord wanted to unveil something deeper to her. You know, she had met Boaz. Now, Boaz had been so kind to her. Boaz had blessed her out in the fields. But Ruth, up to this stage, never had a full revelation of who Boaz was. He didn't know that this was her kinsman redeemer. She didn't know that about this man. And though she had a need, and her need had come to a certain place, and she had a great need for a kinsman redeemer, because there was a deep inside of Ruth. Now, the one thing which you'll see that why Boaz was so attracted to Ruth, why did he love Ruth? The prophet says because of her character. What was that character in Ruth? Well, there's a lot of things you can look at in Ruth. But you've spoken of it before that Ruth, she had a burning desire. She had one desire. She had a deep inside of her that she wanted to fulfill one thing. She wanted to fulfill the requirements of redemption.
Amen.
She wanted to raise up the name of her husband.
Amen.
You know, and that was something that really attracted the attention of God. Because Ruth, she could so easily have just followed her own way. She could have sought an easy way out. The way that Boaz, you'll see it, how he speaks to her and says, you didn't go with these young men. You didn't go with these rich men. No, Ruth was attractive. She was available. She was somebody that so many people would have been attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about the character of Ruth. She wasn't looking for the easy way.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to find something to satisfy the flesh, something to try to satisfy her own desires, to try to fulfill her own ambitions. But there was something had been revealed to her.
Amen.
And that something was the law of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Now that if somebody died, one of the men of Israel died, like her husband, he dies and he has no seed, he has nobody to raise up his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the redemptive law, we know it was, you had to find the near kinsman.
Mm-hmm.
And the near kinsman had to go in unto that woman and raise up seed to continue the name of her husband.
Mm.
Yeah, and that was the most important thing to Ruth. She wanted there to be an heir. She wanted to bring forth the seed which is going to continue on the name of her husband. And that heir as well was going to be the one that was going to be the one to inherit Naomi's goods as well. Mm. And that's what Naomi needed as well. So deep down inside of her, there was a deep inside of her. There was something that wanted to be expressed. And she kept herself. All those, the prophet says, during that time, those weary fields of Gilead.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't easy. It was a testing time.
Mm-hmm.
She had come from, the prophet says, she's a rich life. Back then, Moab, it was an easy life for her. But now she comes from that kind of life. She's made a decision. She's made a decision to bear the reproach of the Lord. She's made a decision to throw her lot in now with the children of God. And she comes now into this promised land. And it's not an easy walk that she has to walk. While she goes through that stage, she's made the right decision. Now she has to serve, and she's serving in the fields. It's not an easy thing. The prophet says the different things that were being said about her. You know, she was dressed different than the other people. She spoke different than the other people. It wasn't easy for that kind of a time. There was plenty of opportunity that if it had been in her heart, there was plenty of opportunity for her to have gone back. She could have gone back to her parents, could have gone back to her gods. She could have gone back and married one of the young men and more. She could have gone and just continued on her life. But something had happened to Ruth because she was elect. Because she wasn't the same as the rest of the maidens in the fields. There was this call upon her. There was this deep something inside of her that she couldn't be satisfied with the lot that other people were satisfied with. Other people would just come and, you know, get them, raise up, do the education, do whatever it is, and then just marry, you know, hey, seek the man that could give them the easy life, you know, the one that was rich, the one that was good looking, the one that had a nice home. And Ruth, she had an opportunity for all of those things. But there was something inside of her that when she weighed these things up, when she looked at satisfying her own desire, satisfying her own needs, her own way, when she weighed it up now with the requirements of God's word, that mystery of redemption, that God was saying, no, in this kind of a situation, the most important thing, you need to continue on, raise up the name
Hallelujah.
Of God. To her, that was the most important thing to her. And even before she met Boaz, even before she came into relationship with Boaz, it's like she had taken almost a Nazarite vow upon herself. No, she kept herself. That's what Boaz says. She kept herself from these young men.
Hallelujah.
There was plenty of opportunity she could have mixed with those young men.
Yes.
Plenty of opportunity she could have gone to the entertainments that were taking place. But she didn't. She sanctified herself.
Amen.
She kept herself because she knew there's a redemptive call upon my life. And she didn't fully understand the extent of this call inside of her life. Only we do now when you go and read the book of Ruth. But she just knew that there was something inside of her that was a deep. There was something inside of her that was, you know, it was something that maybe other people didn't understand. People might have come to her and said, Ruth, but now look at that young guy. He's a good guy. He's faithful to the Lord. You know, he's eligible. You know, he's well able to meet your needs. Ruth, you've got needs here. He has other young men that can meet your needs. Now you don't have to be gleaning like this. You don't have to be taking things back to your mother-in-law, wondering where your next meal comes from. And, you know, wonder what your future holds. It doesn't have to be like that. But there have already been an invisible union with her.
Amen.
She had united herself somehow in the mystery of her own soul, in the mystery of what God had done in revealing his word to her. She had united herself with that word of redemption.
Amen.
Amen. She was already, in a way, married. Amen. She was married to that redemptive word.
Amen.
She was just waiting now for the natural to catch up with the spiritual. But as she was going now in those fields of Boaz, and the way the Lord now leads her by his grace just to the right time, there was plenty of pressure, disappointment. Imagine Boaz has to come and say to those to the people in his field, don't touch her, leave her. Don't show us. There was potential that, you know, someone in a vulnerable position like that could easily have been taken advantage of.
Right.
And Boaz had to give a strict instruction to touch her not. You know, so it wasn't an easy condition that she was in. Other fields may have seemed so attractive, but there was something about Ruth that when she could sense God in something, you can see it right from the decision that she made.
Amen.
She didn't lean on her understanding. She didn't try to reason it out.
Amen.
She didn't try to plot the roadmap of where this is going to lead me before she made the decision.
That's right.
No, She had this capability inside of herself to lay aside reason. Not to lean on her own understanding, but just to follow this leadership inside of her.
Yes.
You know, she couldn't understand why her husband has to die. She can't understand why her brother-in-law has to die, her father-in-law has to die. She doesn't understand all these other things that are taking place. But there's a deep inside of her.
Hallelujah.
And she's just got the something. And whenever something starts opening up to her, she just walks through it.
Hallelujah.
God shows her the next stage, even if it's not shown in a complete way. She doesn't have a full understanding of where this is going to lead to. She just walks through that door.
Amen.
And friend, that is the bride.
Hallelujah.
Now, the bride, none of us here are satisfied with our own intellectual understanding of religion. None of us are satisfied with leading ourselves, you know, trying to work things out for ourselves, trying to manufacture things. No. There's something inside of us that is not satisfied with that. There's these two different realms that are in operation here. There's something that's working inside of our souls. And inside of our souls, we know there's this deeper purpose. There's this higher calling. You know, there's that this predestination here. That he has deeper thoughts yet, which he wants to express to us.
Amen.
That we can feel that inside of ourselves. And, you know, like Boaz was telling those young men to drop those handfuls on purpose so she can glean a little bit extra. That encouragement, like Brother George sings in the song. You know, she could sense it at times that, yeah, and Boaz comes to her and, you know, commends her while she's in the field and, you know, blesses her and says, you know, I've heard of what you've done and I've heard of what you're doing to your mother-in-law. You know, when you're hungry, come and eat. And when you're thirsty, the young man will give you waters from the well of Bethlehem and all that. You know, she knew that there's a favor here. It hasn't fully expressed itself yet, but now, whenever I'm low, there's something that comes and just quickens me.
Amen.
Whenever I'm feeling discouraged, there's just a certain fellowship, there's a certain presence.
Amen.
I pray that's a testimony of the
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a testimony because the prophet says, Boaz, when he saw Ruth, it was love at first sight.
Right.
And that's how it is with our kinsman.
Amen.
Amen.
He loves your soul.
Amen.
He loves that inside of you. And he says, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The song says, and that's why the most precious thing to him is your soul.
Amen.
He was willing to shed his own blood. He was willing to bear your reproach. He was willing to lay aside glory to come down and take on the form of a servant. He would have done whatever that it took to express his love to your soul.
Amen.
And so whenever your soul starts getting low, your soul, you know, starts getting overwhelmed by the conditions or overwhelmed by circumstance, you find the Lord watches over your soul.
Amen.
You really see that with Ruth. And that's how Ruth knew. She said, I don't know, but you know, whenever I come into the presence of that, there's just something. You know, but at that time, before revelation came to who Boaz was and who she was to Boaz, in the eyes of Boaz, that she would have looked down upon herself and I'd say, well, hey, I can't think thoughts like that. You know, I can't think things like that about the Lord of the harvest himself. What would he think about a person like me? You know, and so she gleans and she was so faithful in that time of glean. You know, when she came, Naomi never had to tell her, go and glean. She herself said, let me go and glean.
Yeah.
Let me go and see if I can find grace in the eyes of someone. And then it was her hap. That's what it says. It was like her chance,
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, to come across the field of Boaz. And friend, once she got to the field of Boaz, there was something inside of her soul. There was nothing ever going to take away from that. She just knew inside of herself. Maybe there were times, it's like in the message, those years back when all those questions came and that.
Yes, sir.
The questions can come and trouble people's minds. They never trouble the souls of the
Amen.
Inside of your soul, you'll be just like Peter said to Jesus. Are you going to go also? Where shall we go?
Hallelujah.
The words of eternal life.
Amen.
You may not understand all these hard
yes, sir.
Sayings that you have, but you have the words
Amen.
Of eternal
life. Amen.
And there's something, that's predestination, friends. That's something you can't put inside of somebody. That's something which is part of God's redemptive purpose and God's redemptive plan, is that the soul of the elect will never be satisfied outside of Boaz.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother God was saying that they went this weekend to a dedication of some people and invited them, who they've been speaking to. These Christian people, they came back and were speaking. But it's very interesting. Many people testify this and they say, now when you go and you speak to Christians, you find out one thing. Christians these days don't have a message.
Amen.
Don't listen to the message.
Don't.
We were speaking at Paul Lee's house. We were there the other weekend. And we were there with Brother Greg and Brother David. And she was saying the same thing. She was saying, this is the first time I've come to a church where people actually teach from the Bible.
Amen.
And Brother Blake, it's very good sometimes to go away to appreciate what you've got.
Hey, yes, sir.
And I said to him, I said, brother, it's scripture. It's Amos chapter 3.
Amen.
There's coming a famine in the land to hear the truth of the Lord.
Yes,
and the young virgins, the Christian.
Amen.
We'll be going from the north to the south, the east and the west, searching on YouTube, searching the Christian bookshops, searching through all the different denominations to find the true word of God.
Amen.
And friend, the scripture says they're not going to find it.
Amen.
They're not. But Elijah,
thank you, Lord.
Amen. There was a famine in the land. The widow's house, there was no famine.
Amen.
There was always oil in the cruse.
Yes, sir.
There was always meal in the barrel.
Right.
Ah, friend, and that is the truth about this message. Like we said, brother, say, brother, that friends, it's not like you'll never find things to preach. There's just too many messages to listen to.
Amen.
Like what Johnny Reagan says, he said, you know, the problem is when you're studying the message, you go down so many branches down there that you end up forgetting where you started from, because there's so many different avenues you could go down. And you're just trying to find, my Lord, which is the right avenue for this season.
Amen.
Friends, we really should appreciate
Amen.
The grace of God.
Amen.
It was His predestined purpose to guide our footsteps to Boaz's field.
Amen.
To the Lord of the harvest in the harvest time. Right at harvest time, when the Lord of the harvest has come personally to His field. He led us to the field at that time.
Amen.
Because when Ruth came to the field, what happened? Boaz came to the field.
That's right.
Friend, that's the end time. That's what the cloud signifies. That's what the pillar of fire is. That's what the message of the hour is. It's Boaz's personal presence has come back to the field. And just at that time, He leads you to the field.
Amen.
Ah, friend, that's grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Say, you may not have a mansion in this life. You may not have the big fancy Cadillac that other people have. No, you may wonder about this and wonder about that. But friends, I'd rather have what I have than all the riches.
Amen.
I'd rather have what I have than big names, big reputation. Go and fill a stadium. Somebody sent a little thing on WhatsApp the other day to me. I don't know who it was. But it showed Joel Osteen's church. Yeah. You know, the big stadium, the smiling preacher. With 30,000 people in the church. And then there was a little hall there with about 20 people inside. And said, this is how your church is when you preach the truth.
Ah, that's right, yeah.
Now, this is what, this is the church when you preach what the people need to hear. Or something. And the other one is, this is what it is when you preach what people want to hear. Yeah, there's a massive difference. And that's the truth.
Amen.
But the soul of a believer will never be satisfied.
Amen.
With anything but the truth. Because your soul is the Word. And the Word will only recognize the Word.
Amen.
And the Word will only be satisfied with the Word. You know, and Ruth, when she got to that place, she didn't understand why. But when she came to Boaz's field, she just felt it.
Amen.
You just feel it. When you are in the will of God, you feel it.
Amen.
You know, you may go and try to live in another place. It might be golden opportunity. It might be like Lot, you offered a place in the city gates. Yeah? The mayor of the city. But friend, to a believer, that's not even in the equation.
Amen.
Sometimes you want to just, you get to a certain place and you just feel at home.
Amen.
There's just a certain something that fits inside like a hand to the glove. Yes, I don't understand why. You meet certain people and you just feel at home.
Amen.
And you just feel at home with those people. That's not something that began in time.
No.
Amen.
That's something that began in eternity.
Amen.
It has
folded itself down into time.
Hallelujah.
And that's why the deep is calling to the deep.
Amen.
And the prophet says that believers will always recognize one another.
Amen.
Like Brother Robinson that day when he said so many, you know, when Melchizedek, when he came down, when Elohim came down in Genesis 18, he walked past many people's tents and never recognized him. But the moment Abraham
said, Amen.
That's the way that it is.
Amen.
And that's the way that it's always going to be. So Ruth, she comes to this place. And now she gleans faithfully. Yeah. And then there comes God's appointed time. It's now the Lord's time. She's been Ruth serving. But it's now time for her to come to Ruth resting.
Amen.
And that to me really interested me. So how did she move from that junction? From Ruth serving to Ruth resting? Friend, it's exactly the same way that God deals with us. It came by the revelation of the word.
Amen.
It was in God's season. The prophet says that Naomi types the old scriptures.
Sure.
She types the word. So just in the Jew season, imagine, Naomi just gets an inspiration on her to now come and reveal something further to Ruth. And Ruth's already been going down to the field. And then now, at that season, Naomi reveals to her who Boaz really is. And not only that, but reveals where Boaz is. And reveals what Boaz's ministry is at that time.
Amen.
He's winnowing down at the threshing floor. Shows exactly where he is, exactly what his ministry is in that season. And it doesn't stop there. Naomi then reveals to her exactly the approach she must make to win favor with Boaz.
Amen.
Oh my. There's a serious revelation.
Amen.
Now this is harvest time there. And it's not the beginning of harvest time because Naomi and Ruth came at the beginning of harvest time from Moab. At the beginning of the barley harvest. This is the end of the harvest because they're threshing. They've already harvested. Things are on the threshing floor. The ministry of Boaz at this time is what? To separate the wheat from the chaff.
Amen.
That was his ministry. That's what he was doing at that time. That was his current ministry. And his own personal presence, he was there personally, his own presence was there supervising that work.
Amen.
And she gets the word unveils to her now at that time and shows her several things. Shows her who she is.
Amen.
She's always looking at herself saying, I'm a Moabite, Moabitess, you know, I'm not like these other maidens. I don't think any man like him could ever look at me. And then the revelation comes to her and says, my daughter, don't look at yourself.
Amen.
Look at the redemptive
revelation
that redemption has made for you. Is that God has instructed the kinsman.
Amen.
He didn't say to the kinsman, now if you want, go and raise up seed for your husband. Deuteronomy 25, I think it is. He says the brothers, the brother, must raise up seed.
Amen.
So God had made a provision exactly for a situation like hers. And friends, those are powerful times in your experience. When revelation comes to in season.
Amen.
This was a revelation in season for
me. Amen.
This revelation was exactly what Ruth needed. She had this need. The need had matured. It was right at the end of the harvest. If something wasn't done at this time, the opportunity was going to pass by maybe to the next year. Because who knows when Boaz was going to be. And that is why there came a quickening onto Naomi. She realized the lateness of the hour. She realized it's almost end of the harvest. And she realized that Ruth wasn't yet in the relationship with Boaz that she should have been. She needed to come deeper in a relationship with this kinsman.
Amen.
And friends, that's how it is with us. It takes the revelation of the word.
Amen.
You may try to crack your head on the word, like the denominations did in these ages gone by on the book of Revelation. Some of the funniest things you'll ever do is go and read some of the commentaries on the book of Revelation. Sincere people who were saying it when we were there in Switzerland, I think it was Brother Ron Spencer, said that C.H. Spurgeon said to his young ministers,
yes, sir.
He taught them, you leave that book of Revelation.
Amen.
One day there's going to come an angel and he's going to open that
book. Hallelujah.
People knew that book's a sealed book. But friend, it's not a sealed book to us.
No.
Amen.
It's been opened in its season.
Amen.
It's been opened in its season. And that's why at that time, right in the harvest time, there came a revelation of redemption. A revelation of the kinsman redeemer. That's how it started for Ruth. And friends, what starts the seals being broken is the revelation of the kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
In the breach, that's what the prophet is preaching in the breach. even if you backtrack a little bit to the year before that, the prophet, he preaches Revelation series. He preaches the church ages. Mm-hmm. So he brings things right up to date. He preaches about the same church age. Mm-hmm. He then preaches, you know, different things around that. And he then gets to a junction. Mm-hmm. Yeah? He comes and he preaches Kinsman Redeemer. Mm-hmm. And in the Kinsman Redeemer now, he's seen the church ages. The revelation has come right up to date. And then he preaches Kinsman Redeemer, and the prophet realized that no. This mystery of redemption is more than just the church ages. It's Israel as well. It's not only Ruth, but there's Naomi in the story as well. So the prophet now says, okay, look, we need to stop our studies from the book of Revelation. We need to go to the book of Daniel. We need to go and preach Daniel 70 weeks. Why? Honestly, saints, the way the prophet was led is so powerful.
Amen.
He didn't just preach messages at that junction for nothing. Oh. There was a very specific reason why.
Amen.
In between that, before he could come to the seals now, which is the revelation of the Kinsman Redeemer, he first had to bring Naomi into the picture as well. And come and show us that, yes, look, Ruth, she's going to get the bridegroom. Yeah. She's going to become Mrs. Jesus. But Naomi, she's got to come. Someone's got to redeem her land back.
Amen.
She's got to get back her land. And that's what he's showing in there. Speaking of Joseph and all the things that he does there in the 7 weeks of Daniel. So the prophet comes in that little junction. He preaches the 3 messages on Daniel 70 weeks. Then comes the seals. Now the seals was the revelation of the mystery of redemption.
Hey.
And under the mystery of the revelation of redemption, that book now that's unsealed in his hand, Revelation 10:1, the angel coming down with an open book, inside of there it was now season for Ruth to get a deeper revelation of redemption. And in there's going to be several things that's going to reveal who he is.
Amen.
Then it's going to reveal who you are.
Amen.
Then it's going to reveal, what is he today? Where is he today? What is his ministry today? He's not out in the harvest fields out there anymore. It's not the missionary age. The prophet says we've moved up now to Ruth resting. And that was now Boaz coming down to the threshing floor. Now the prophet says, Jack Moore and them, being Christians, they could feel the pull of the hour. Then you know something's going on, but not being elect, they couldn't pinpoint. They couldn't recognize who is Christ, what is he doing, what is his mind, what is his purpose. They couldn't recognize that. And friend Ruth, up to the time we read the scripture, she didn't have that revelation. She knew she had this deep, she knew she had these experiences. She knew that God's hand was inside of her life. She knew that God had given her grace. But the Lord now needed to unveil the fullness of this great mystery of redemption.
Amen.
And as that would be unveiled to her, she would move now, like we're saying, from just being one of the maidens in the field, and she would move up now to be Mrs. Boaz. And it was going to take revelation to do that. That's the unveiling of the seals.
Amen.
And that's why in the seals book, when the prophet speaks of these things in the first seal, he says, I don't call you church. Yeah.
Amen.
I call you bride.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You see, it was a change. It was a junction there. Now that is moving into the next stage and the experience now of those who follow the message. And that was at the opening of the seal. That's a serious thing if you think about it.
Amen.
But that junction, that kind of higher junction when heaven was open, that's a very serious junction.
Amen.
And the only way we move from one place to another is we move when he unveils it to us.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what Ruth did. She never forced him.
Amen.
She didn't. What did Ruth do in herself? The prophet says all the church can do is she yielded to the anointing.
Amen.
As that anointing came upon Naomi, revealed to Ruth and told her, this man is our kinsman. He's your goel. He's the answer to your desires. He's the answer to your needs. He's the answer to your prayer. He's everything
Amen.
That you need.
Amen.
Your destiny, that deep inside of you, the reason you feel the way that you do is because there's a deep inside of you. And now the season has come for you to move from where you are, to move into the next stage.
Amen.
For you to really come to a far more personal, far more intimate relationship to the same one that loved you in the field. Oh, friend. It was a wonderful time.
Amen.
Wonderful times, wonderful junctions inside of your life. But Ruth is going to have to be obedient. That was the key. And that was the key to her. Everything that Naomi told her to do, she did it.
Yes.
Amen.
She never questioned it. She never reasoned with Naomi. She never tried to get the word to herself. No. She never got the word to fit her circumstances. She wanted her circumstances to fit the word. And if something had to change, if something had to change, it didn't matter to her. There was that something in her character. There was that ability just inside of her that when the Lord came and revealed to her, opened the way to the next juncture. Let's look at it. It says in chapter 3 that we read, verse 4. Let's just read from verse 1 again just to get the context. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, friend, that's the revelation of the word. Because Naomi is the old scriptures, is the word. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?
Amen.
Amen.
And now, is not Boaz of our kindred? That's the first thing. And then Ruth is like, what? I didn't know I had that relationship with this man.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know that in reality I mean spirits to this man. This man's going to be very personally interested in my situation because of the redemptive mystery that God has in his word.
Amen.
Oh, so that's the first thing you see. He says, is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Now, he's going to show exactly where he is in that age. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now she's got things to
do. Amen.
Wash thyself.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anoint thee.
Amen.
Friend, you've got to get in the spirit.
Amen.
We'll see it when Ruth goes down to obey these orders. Yeah? Instruction of the word, the unveiled mystery revelation to her. She goes down, and here's Boaz lying, and he's got his robe over him, his skirt. She goes. And she has to cover herself with a little bit of this girl. Then when he wakes up now, he says, "Oi!" And then she makes redemptive plans. She now casts the whole skirt on her. You see, but she had to start the process.
Yes.
The process is the first thing you need to do. You need to get in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But before you wait for the Lord to do something, but you first get in the spirit of the promise.
Amen.
You do your little bit first and then see how he responds and does the thing which you can't do. So that was the key now. It says, anoint me and put thy raiment upon me.
Amen.
And get them down to the floor. Shows exactly what you do. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall
be.
And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. So specific. And lay thee down. He will tell you what to
do. Hallelujah.
The word will give you instruction up to a certain point, and then he will show you the rest.
Amen.
It's always like that. You can never show somebody exactly the will of God for their life. You can't. You can show some of the parameters. You can show somebody the word. But the last stage of it is, he will show you what to do. That's what I loved about the prophet. The prophet never took away the personal leadership of God in the life of a person.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Never. They say when people would come to the prophet would never tell a person unless it was the word he was telling.
Amen.
But in just personal counsel, he never told them, go and do this and go and do that. No. He said, if I were you, this is what I would.
Amen. Amen.
I respect it.
Amen.
And people were writing in questions and answers. Brother Branham, we know that you've moved to Tucson. Shall we come and live there as well? He said, You follow what God tells you?
Yes, sir.
I'm not a dictator. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me, it's expensive. Dry, it's hot. I don't preach down there. All my messages, I'm still preaching them in the tabernacle. I mean, if you had ears today, you could hear what he was saying. And then he says, and don't forget Jimmy Jackson's dream. You know, when I took that bar and broke open the stone, and I told the people, stay here and look on this.
Amen.
But instead of the people staying and looking in on the unwritten word, the people went to the north, south, east, and west.
Yes. Amen.
The prophet says, I never did what I should have told them. Mm. So the prophet in that revelation of the word had told the people what to do. Mm. Or stay here. Stay here. And then in the dream, Judah Jackson saw him going over the hills towards the setting of the sun. Mount Sunset. Going for the revelation of the seals. The people should have stayed there.
Yeah.
But the prophet, friends, he read would never want to get in the way of the leadership of the Holy Ghost in the life of the
Hallelujah. Amen.
He never did. If it was the word, and you asked him the word and the principles, will he tell you clear? The word says this, my friend. But if it's those other kind of things, you have to seek the mind of God yourself.
Amen.
And that's what Naomi told her. So this is where he is. This is how you approach him. You know, if you dress like this, anoint yourself, get yourself in the spirit like this, wash yourself, get washed in the waters of the
Amen.
Word, confess your sins, go lay at his feet in humility, find the place where you lay down, that's Calvary, go and lay yourself upon the altar, he will tell you what to do.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's good counsel.
Hallelujah.
That was good counsel to Amen. Any situation that a believer finds themselves
Amen.
In. If you follow that approach, wash yourself. The prophet says we wash by the waters of the word. That's the sanctifying power of the revealed word. It cleanses you. Now before you can hear the voice of God, you've got to first get washed of your own thoughts. Sometimes we're confused in our minds because we're listening to all these other voices. We're spending time. Like Sister Shanash, you put a very good question on the forum today because you should watch this thing from YouTube about some man speaking in Matthew 24 about how all the bad people are going to go, all the good people are going to be left behind and stuff. Friend, if you go and watch a lot of the stuff on YouTube, you're going to be confused. And before you can find the will of God, you've got to get washed.
Amen.
You've got to get washed from those things. It's like you've got to get purged from those things.
Amen.
That's how Brother Lonnie Jenkins, that advice that he gave to believers when you first come to the message. Just listen to the message.
Amen.
Don't go and find some other Benny Hinn stuff and some other T.D. Jakes and Joyce Meyer and all these kind of things. Why do you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to get yourself all confused for those kind of a thing? Naomi revealed who God has was, where he was,
Amen.
What his ministry was,
Amen.
What he was doing at that time, where he was personally,
Amen.
Where his personal attention was.
Amen.
I couldn't do the next field over the next field over the next field over there. When Boaz is at the threshing floor here.
Amen.
Friends. I'm so glad when I got on the message that we listened to that advice.
Amen.
It took us a long time before we listened even to any of the ministers in the message on their tapes.
Mm.
We didn't do that. There's 1,200 messages.
Amen.
Have you finished those?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why are we jumping and listening to a lot of other things?
Mm.
Right.
Not to say that some of those things aren't beneficial, but first you get to know what you believe.
Amen.
You get to know what the message says. You get to know the boundaries of the message yourself. So that when an uncertain sound comes, you can pick it up. That's not what the prophet said.
That's right.
Like Micaiah, he knew this isn't what Elijah said. He knew Elijah prophesied, the dog's going to lick your blood. You're under a curse. So when all those other prophets are now coming and saying, America's going to prosper, like you're saying now. Trump's going to bring this great revival. Yeah, you can believe that, but as for me, I believe what Elijah said. Elijah said you can put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every state. You're not going to turn it around. He said it's too corrupt. And look, Trump really tried, but the system is so corrupt. Go and have a look. Everybody's fighting him. suffer, and you already see it for yourself, that what the prophet said was the truth.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you have a man with a good intention and you put him as a president, you can't turn America around.
Amen.
It's under a curse.
Amen.
There's the sixth division already. Seventh division. I saw America as a smoking room.
That's right. Amen.
It's been spoken already. So, friend, the best thing is find out what Elijah said first.
Amen.
So that when these other prophets come and they make the horns of iron, like that prophet, what was his name in Micaiah? And he came and said, now say the Lord with these horns. You know, you will get a great victory. And then I said, okay, well, we'll see.
Amen.
And the prophet says that, he says, because he knew what Elijah.
Amen.
And he knew that God doesn't change his mind about his word.
That's right.
It's a very important principle. And that's why Ruth, she just listened to Naomi.
Amen.
There must have been a lot of other people giving ideas.
Amen.
Oh, it's really hard for you these days. Why don't you do this and why don't you do that? You know, I've heard of a field over there and you can do this and that. But there was a deep inside of her, I know the leadership of my God. I made a decision to follow him. There was a lot of pressure for me not to follow. But I made up my mind, a clear-cut decision, that when he speaks to me, what he says to me, I'm going to follow.
Amen.
No matter the consequences. If I have to bear the reproach of the word, I'm willing to bear the reproach of the word.
Okay.
If people say this, that, and the other about me, that's got nothing to do with it. I'm just going to follow this leadership.
Amen.
And she was so obedient to that. And that was the key, friends. Ruth, the thing she loved, was, in those days, was the law of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
That was the governing principle in her life. What did Jehovah say about this? What is the desire of my Lord? I'm in this situation, yeah? I could go and marry one of these other young men. None of them are my kinsmen. Yeah? That's going to help me, but it sure ain't going to help Naomi. It's not going to help her raise up an heir so she can continue on and inherit and pass the property on. If I do that, I'm not going to raise up the name of my husband. My husband who's died. But instead, I'm going to raise up the name of that person who I choose to marry. And she wasn't satisfied with that. Although that was the easy way. Although there was pressure upon her, trying to pressure her to go that way. But she made that decision, and it was a clear-cut decision again. It doesn't matter how much long I have to stay in this field. God has a provision.
Amen.
God has a requirement in his word. Yeah? And if I'm faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to me. And then in his due season, just at the right season, God came and opened up the way to her and revealed and said, this is the way that you receive it. Your reward. This is the way that you're going to receive it. So the prophet says in Kinsman Redeemer, he says, mark the place where your life died.
Amen.
He says, did you do that? On Golgotha. Many years ago, I marked in my heart where he laid down
his head,
that he may take me.
Amen.
Mark the place that he died. Watch where he lay. Look at Jesus. He's willing to lay it all down for the love of his bride.
Yeah.
He's willing to lay aside his reputation, willing to be called Beelzebub, willing to say, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Think of Jesus, how he was willing to lay it all down, and then finally he was willing to lay down his own life, his own fellowship with the tree of life. He was willing to forsake it for a season so he could die. And the prophet says, that's what we've got to do. If we want to move to the next stage from where we are, to Ruth resting, we've got to come and lay down in the same place. We've got to find where he lay, and we're going to come and lay there too.
Amen.
Then he says, that's what every believer should do. Mark what he did for you. Last Sunday's message on the visit to Calvary. Mark what he did for you.
Hallelujah.
Then, when he lies down to sleep, to rest, you go and lay down in his feet. Not his head, his feet, unworthy.
Amen.
That certain attitude and that certain approach.
Amen.
That will always bring forth a redemptive blessing from him. It will always, if you approach him this way.
Amen.
Humble. and take the blanket that he was covered with and pull it over.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Now, friend, what is that speaking about? What robe, what garment does Boaz wear now? Mm. What is his current garment that he's wearing? It's
Amen.
The purple.
Amen.
That's what he's wearing at the moment. The world is wearing that garment.
Amen.
So she's being told, you go. Get clothed with the same one.
Hallelujah.
You go lay down at his feet in the same garment. That's what you put that garment on.
Amen.
And that's what you should be seeking. The Amen. Same garment. Then he says, the promise is all mine. You may think I'm a fanatic, but that just suits me right. Mm. The Spirit of God. Mark where he lay at Calvary, where he lay down in the tomb in Gethsemane. Mark and crawl up to his feet and lie down there and die to yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Die to your own understanding. Die to your own idea. Die to your own solutions, your own reason. Lay yourself down. And that's part of being washed. That's part of being anointed. That's part of not dressing yourself right, approaching the right way. Come and lay at his feet.
Amen.
And you see, when Naomi now spoke to Ruth, this revelation was very specific.
Amen.
When God opens something up, it's very specific. There's no two ways. Amen. God has only one provided way.
Amen.
It's very specific. God's grace will open up a channel to your situation like that and say, this is the way that you need to go. And the prophet says, all the church needs is to respond to the Lord. Just to yield to that leadership that is giving at that time and to follow through. And that's all that she had to do. And then she came and she lay down at his feet. And then he wakes up in the night and she says, who are you? And she says, spread therefore thy skirt upon thy hand. No. The reason that Boaz straight away got into the Spirit and blessed her, and said, blessed art thou of the Lord my daughter, is because the prophet says, yes, of the character that she had, but Boaz had already seen inside of Ruth, right from the fields of Boaz, that she was clothed with this garment of redemption. He saw for himself that, yes, I may be the kinsman redeemer, but she's in the Spirit of redemption.
Amen.
Yeah, there was such a match between the two of them. When those two came together, it wasn't difficult for them to come together. Because what was on her heart was redemption, to redeem, to raise up the name of her husband. What was on her heart was kinsman redemption, not her own things, not her own affairs. So when she comes into the presence of Boaz, and she's asking him now to make a sacrifice to perform redemption on her behalf, he's looking and saying, that's the life she's been living ever since she got here.
Amen.
And those two things, when they come together, something's going to happen.
Amen.
When the prophet comes to Sister Hattie Wright's house and he's clothed, in the third pool, he's clothed, that anointing is upon him. And he comes and he starts speaking about those things. Sister Hattie Wright, she was in the same channel, down her own line. What was the greatest desire in her heart? Was the redemption, the salvation of the two boys. So when the prophet now is in this mystery of redemption, Sister Hattie Wright, in her own life, in her own circumstances, she's not just thinking about, if somebody can just open the way to the Lord, I'm going to ask him to give me a big house. I'm going to ask him to destroy my enemies. No! Look where she was.
Amen.
Look what was upon her heart. Look at the spirit that she was in. And that's when the prophet spoke about redemption, what God was unveiling at that time. She said, that's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
There's just something inside of me. That's true. I may not have been in those circumstances, but there's something inside of me, the spirit, the condition I'm in. That's the truth. And as soon as the statue said that, the super anointing, redemption, came upon the prophet.
Amen.
And he blessed him with such a great blessing. And it's exactly the same as Boaz. And Ruth approached him that way. Can you see, friends, there's a certain walk that you need to have.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how the prophet says the problem comes in, is when during the day we come out from behind the veil. And we go and play around in the world and we think about, And then we try later on in the evening to get back within the veil. This is, it doesn't work.
Amen.
It says these things don't work right until you are abiding in the Shekinah.
Amen.
Amen.
And then when you're abiding in the Shekinah presence of God, and God is near, then the crisis comes and the child is sick in the night. A crisis comes and somebody phones you. It's there. You know, that promise, or whatever it is, quickly can come upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a quick contact and the channel can quickly open to you.
Amen.
Because of the walk. Because of the way you've been walking. And friends, out of all those maidens in the field, there was none
Hallelujah.
Which walked the way that Ruth walked.
Amen.
And there were maidens that were blessed by Boaz as well. But there was something about her. She was such a matching
person
to Boaz. Yeah. What her soul was set upon was so much in harmony about what his soul was set upon. And when those two things came together, her need, yeah, and his kinsman redemption, those two things came together, nothing was going to stop.
Amen.
The channel was going to open. And what did she ask him, like we say? She asked him to clothe him with the same robe that he was wearing in that season of the harvest.
Mm.
He was dressed in a particular way for the harvest. And friends, we don't want to look back to what Luther got in his day. He was dressed in a certain way for that age. He was dressed in a certain way for the missionary age. Dressed in a certain way in Azusa Street. But he's dressed a different way now. We saw him clothed with a cloud. You know, he's got a particular clothing, a particular something that he's got the garment on at this time.
Amen.
And that's what the bride wants.
Amen.
Others may be seeking for Boaz's riches. Others are seeking for Boaz's, you know, blessing and other things. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to the bride, she wants the same robe.
Amen.
Amen.
She wants to be dressed in Boaz's robe. That's wonderful to be Boaz's people, but it doesn't fully satisfy.
That's
wonderful to receive a special blessing from him and to be fed from him at the mealtime. That's wonderful. But there's something inside of a believer. You want that presence.
Amen.
You want that anointing that he, that particular anointing that's operating, that is released at that season. You want that as well.
Amen.
And that's what she wanted. She wanted that robe that he had. And the moment now she got in the spirit and did what she was supposed to do, it took the robe a little bit and put it upon herself. Straight away now. I don't know what I said. You know, he gave the promise. He was a near kingdom, whatever. But he went straight into the spirit of redemption and said, I hold nothing back for you. And that's where the believer wants to be. Now, the prophet, when he preaches that in new ministry, and he starts speaking about the change of his ministry, 1959, yeah? And he starts speaking about that experience that he had. And he speaks about the squirrel, he speaks about that little fishy first, he speaks about Banks Woods and Lion Woods saying the right thing. Mm-hmm. Saying, we're going to go back to that lady that used to testify to us and tell us Christians to say. And the prophet says, there's something that you can say.
Mm-hmm.
You found they were thinking of redemption. Yes? Mm-hmm. They were thinking down a certain line. And the prophet that time, and he gets up in the middle of the night and he can't rest, and something tells him to go and pray out in the broom sage field, and he goes out and he's got a burden on his heart for the salvation of his father. And he says, I couldn't rest, and I went out to pray. And then he saw Jesus standing between the heavens and earth.
Amen.
And there's something about that spirit of redemption.
Amen.
When you get yourself in a certain clothes, in a certain atmosphere, it's not difficult for God to do things.
Hallelujah.
It's not difficult to take another level and be able to see something that you've never seen before.
Amen.
Experience something. Go into a deeper revelation. Go into a deeper relationship than before. But you've got to see that kind of a thing. And friends, that's what Ruth was.
Yeah.
Ruth was walking in that kind of way. And so the prophet speaks about it all, and then he speaks about, you know, how it was Jehovah Jireh, the same as he came to Abraham. And when Abraham was going up Mount Moriah, he was perfect in the spirit of redemption. Yeah? He has Isaac with the wood on his back. He has the father burdened because he's going to have to sacrifice his own son to fulfill the requirements of God's word that he spoke to him.
Yeah?
And they're walking together, just the two of them, going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham gets into the spirit of redemption. It didn't start there on Mount Moriah. He's been walking in it 3 days there. Since the word came to him and he's able to, you know, get washed and anointed and get himself prepared and move into that certain channel that God was moving in at that time. And then Abraham gives up the mountain. And then that anointing comes upon him. My son, God will provide for himself a ram for a sacrifice. And he moves into another dimension and transforms himself in the next stage. That was the way that he was walking before. And I think that really is the key to these things. In those kind of seasons when you can feel the Lord is near. When you can feel that the Lord wants to do something. Friends, let's watch our everyday walk.
Hallelujah.
Let's check what He's saying to us in His Word. Let's see the way He's trying to minister us to a certain place. And let's really be very much like Ruth. Don't think your own thoughts on those kind of times.
Amen.
Reason things out and say, but no, but this and that, and that person said this. No, that's got nothing to do with it. There's a deep inside of you.
Amen.
And that deep wants to experience something deeper because there's a deep out there. We haven't yet experienced the fullness of that deep. But there's something drawing us at that sort of
place.
Seek my face at this
time. Amen.
How many times the Lord would come to the prophet and say that to him? To say, separate yourself. Go to your cave, I'll speak to you. Now, why didn't the Lord just speak to him in the bedroom? Because there's a certain approach for him.
Amen.
There's a certain preparation.
Amen.
There's a certain obedience that's required, preparation that's required, laying yourself at his feet that's required, putting yourself in the spirit, anointing yourself that's required. To get yourself to that place that he wants to speak. He's told the prophet, I want to say something to you. But the prophet's got to obey and follow it and go exactly to the place that God is very specific, friends. God won't speak to you just anywhere.
No.
You'll never prosper in your life just anywhere. You can't just choose where you want to go.
No.
God has a certain place.
Amen.
It's got to be the right place at the right time. The right person in the right place at the right time. To fulfill a vision. A vision is very specific.
Amen.
And the vision of your life and mine and the vision of this church that God has for this church is very specific.
Amen.
There's a season, there's a time, there's a way that it's going to be approached. And friends, in these kind of times, let's walk softly before the Lord.
Amen.
Let's really walk softly before the Lord. Let's not just walk as normal. And just get caught up once again in this in the insignificance like the prophet said. And those things that are not significant at a time like this. There's higher things we should be
saying.
There's a deep inside of us that will lead us deeper and deeper as long as we continue to respond. And then things will continue to open up. Naomi will continue to reveal more of who we are, of who he is, where we can find him, exactly how we can approach him.
Amen.
We get deeper and deeper in the redemptive program.
Hallelujah.
Let us come to a close. And that's why Abraham is in that spirit. Then the prophet says that the prophet, when he had that experience himself, in other words, he understood what that meant. He understood the season and the time. He understood what Boaz had available at that time. It was time for Ruth to rest. It was time for Ruth to move into that relationship that was not only serving, was not only just resting. She was going to have by that revelation of who Boaz was, the revelation of who she was, and the relationship, that union that would bring. Even while they're on the threshing floor, they weren't yet married, but there came a union between them. There was a revelation. There was an experience between them. There were promises made. Now, Boaz still had to go and do certain things. But as for Ruth, it was going on. She was ready. She knew this is finished. This is what he had in his mind for me ever since. I know there's another kinsman. I know there's going to be all that. Doesn't matter to me. And then Naomi told her, you just rest, my daughter. You've done everything you need. He would rest until he has fulfilled his desire.
Amen.
I love it when the emphasis goes back into him. Because if the emphasis is on us, we benefit. We have a portion to play, my friends, outside of him, outside of his grace, we'll never be able to do it. So the prophet says, in new ministry, says, oh God, be praised. Moving into his church.
Amen.
So when he had this experience of the third pillar, he knew what Boaz's robe was. But he knew for himself that this wasn't just for me.
Mm.
He comes down and he preaches it and says, God move him into his church. In the fullness of his power. Moving among his people. Spreading out his great wings. May he be praised. Then he prays in the next paragraph. Oh Lord, I believe the hour is soon coming. That when the loaves and fishes will be multiplied. There'll be a mark of the beast soon. There'll come a confederation of churches. A unionized church. No man can by himself. And your church cannot bother them. For your Holy Spirit shall lead them and feed them as you did Israel in the wilderness. You are God. Don't let us miss that law. Let us remain faithfully. Let us be true. Ah, friend, that's the key. Ruth remained faithful.
Amen.
When was she faithful? At the post of duty.
Amen.
She was just each day out there in the field of war.
Amen.
Sometimes it was hot, she didn't get much. Sometimes there was a big handful of purpose dropped for her. Sometimes she went home without too much, sometimes she went home with her garment full of the finest of the wheat, the finest of the barley. But the thing that she was faithful. And then in due season, when the word started to open up to her, she responded to that word. And that word started to show her specifically, one step at a time, exactly what she needed. And that's why the prophet, now then he finishes right at the end of your ministry, we've said this before. But he says, now listen to this. God has so arranged it that his program cannot move without you and I.
Amen.
As long as we're not doing what God leads us to do, we're paralyzing his program.
Hallelujah.
But when the church moves by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then we're in God's will doing his program.
Amen.
Oh, as soon as I return from California, the Lord willing, what the Branham Tabernacle needs is a revival.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Holy a revival and a filling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The great need of this time. Some of the finest people in the world comes here.
Yes,
but
sir.
But what we need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I feel it. I can tell you. As soon as we return back, Lord willing, we're going to have a revival for that very purpose.
Hallelujah.
Then he says, prayer meetings in here.
Hallelujah.
To receive the Holy
Ghost.
And there's a key there straight out.
Amen.
Now, to be able to come and lay his feet, to come and be able to humble himself, to be able to be washed, to be able to be led of the Spirit, friends, you've got to be in prayer.
Amen.
You've got to be much in prayer, especially in those kind of seasons. Amen. Sense that Boaz wanted to do something at that season. The prophet had experienced it for himself. He wanted the church to experience it now, but he realized, church, you're not quite where you're supposed to be for this blessing to come down to you. He says, pray meetings to receive the Holy Ghost, to walk in the will of God, and to move on with the program of God as it moves on. What did he have to say to Ruth? Wash yourself.
Amen.
Anoint yourself. Get to the place where he laid himself down. Don't lay yourself on the altar where he laid himself down. Yeah. Clothe yourself. Get yourself in a certain condition. Get yourself ready, because this is the season now that Boaz wants to reveal
things
to you. Oh, friends. And my soul will be persuaded because this season. I believe it.
Amen.
He is doing something. He's quickening his people. He's quickening worship. He's quickening.
Amen.
Friends, let's follow his program.
Amen.
Let's do what he tells us to do. The Lord tells you, run a grant to a soul. We only need this unity at this kind of a time.
Amen.
Just do what he tells you to do. Just get yourself at his feet, and like Noah says, he will tell you what to do. And friend, when he tells you to do it, just be like Ruth. Don't
reason
it out. Don't use your own understanding. Don't let human things get in the way of the program of God. Just follow his leadership. If he leads you to listen to a certain message, just listen to
him.
If he speaks to you to read something in the scriptures, don't put it off the letter. Go and read what it says in the scriptures. Because friends, great things begin like that.
Amen.
And as you continue moving in that channel, and he continues like, you know, they're revealing more and more of who he is, where he is, what he is to you. You just keep moving in that channel, and friends, it's powerful.
Yes.
With those kind of things in there. And I'm sure that's the desire to this.
Amen.
You want to come to the fullness of Ruth Reskin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Now we so appreciate Ruth deciding decisions.
Yeah, but
that was the grace of God. We so appreciate Ruth serving. We thank the Lord for all the sacrifice and work that's done in the lives of the believers. That, friends, we so desire the Lord to take us to the next stage.
Amen.
That we can just be resting in Him. Having been Him having thrown that garment upon us. The same garment that He's clothed with in this day, that He'll just throw that garment on you. And we experience exactly the same as what the prophet was speaking of that day. We've received it in a measure, friends. But there's a greater portion of these things. So let's be in prayer at this kind of thing. Let's seek the leadership of the Lord. Let's say, Lord, unveil it to us. We're not forcing open the door, Lord, but You're the one who's opening the door this season. Help us to be faithful. Help us to walk softly before You, that we may follow You in the way that You desire. And I believe the Lord will have good things in store for us. Let's stand. This country for the saints. Redemption is a wonderful thing. Revelation is a wonderful thing. But the Lord says, to him who is faithful and little shall more be given.
Amen.
Reveal something to you and take you to your heart and respect you with all your heart and you do it all your life. That's a sure way of more coming.
Amen.
I'm sure that's what it means. Whatever the Lord's been speaking to you at this time, in this season, in Saturday night, life, just be very faithful.
Amen.
Just be very sensitive. Just be very willing to yield and follow what He tells you to do.
Amen.
And friends, you'll come back with testimony.
Amen.
If you can sing that one, there's that one, I am redeemed. This is an I am redeemed bought with a price, yeah? That one.
Anybody asks?
Father, we may receive, O Lord
God, your word, O Lord God, Lord, that it may come in our hearts and dwell in there, Lord, and act out upon it, O Lord God. We commit ourselves, Lord, unto thee this day, O God. Father, grant us your grace, O Lord God. Bless them in the music ministry,
Amen.
Lord God. Continue to use us, O Lord, in name and glory, Father. We desire, Lord, to yield ourselves unto thee more and more, Lord Jesus, O God, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, Lord, we may create always, Lord, that atmosphere, Lord God, that is pleasing unto you, O Lord God. And Lord, we may tap into heaven, Father, Lord God, into those heavenly realms, O Lord, our songs, O Lord God, may just be in line with your word, O Lord God. Grant us your grace, O Lord. Grant us, O Father, that wisdom, O Lord. Bless the deacons, O Father, Lord God. Bless Sunday school teachers, O Lord God. Every ministry in your house, O Lord God. Bless your people, Lord. We pray in line to Father, Lord God. Bless our pastor, Lord. Restore virtue on him, O Lord God. Even tonight, O Lord. Even as he generous, O Lord. Grant Jenny Masses, Lord. And even us, O Lord God. Tonight, O Father, grant us Jenny Masses, O Lord God. As many as saints that be here, Lord. We come with them, Lord, into thine hands, O Father. Bless them wherever they are, Lord God. Spare us up, O Lord God. Quicken us, O Father, more and more, Lord. For we come with ourselves, Lord, into thine hands tonight, O Lord God. Lead us and guide us, O Father. When we go, Lord, and continue to meditate upon these things, Lord. Even, Lord, in our closer, O Father, Lord God. And we draw nigh unto thee, Lord. In no other way but in prayer, O Lord God. The Father may be pleasing unto you, Lord God, as a sweet sacrifice, O Lord God. Bless us tonight, O Lord God. Lead us and guide us. For we ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Friday is a men's meeting. I'm glad for brothers to be there.